Morning. My mom texted me this morning and said, I'm praying for you, son, that you be full of the Holy Spirit and speaking what God would have you speak this morning. So I know it's going to be good today because I have a praying mom and because I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. We're going to be talking about Paul's testimony. And immediately when I think about this, Paul's testimony, and I hope for you, when you think about this, we don't just think about Paul's testimony, we think about our testimony. And I don't know about you, I'm grateful for the grace of God in my life. All the little turns and side routes I've taken, sometimes away from the straight and narrow. That God's grace has been sufficient for me. He's reined me in from time to time. And you know, I was thinking just a great analogy of this is we took our boys sledding a few weeks ago and to this hill on the west end that Isaiah loves because it has a little rail that he can tweak his sled on and then jumps this jump and there's a gap like this and the boys are fearless and I wonder if their knees are made of steel. I wince every time they fall. So he goes down and Eli goes down and then Noah's like, I want to go down, Dad. And he's got this little flying saucer and I'm like, you are not hitting that jump. So 10 paces to the left and then even shove him a little left and he starts going down the hill and then pretty soon he's on a saucer so he turns around and he's like smiling at us as he's coming down and then we're like halfway down, he starts going to the right. No, jump off, buddy, don't do it. He hits the side of the jump and he falls off and he's crying and we run down and pick him up and he's already forgotten by the time we got to the top of the hill, he wants to go down again. So this time, 20 paces to the left, give him another little push and all of a sudden I look down, I'm like, there's a jump on that side too. Like, oh man. We need the grace of God to keep us on the straight and narrow and to keep us from poor parenting decisions, I think. But I believe God wants to speak to us through this passage about our testimony. And so have you ever thought about your testimony? Do you think much about your testimony? When was the last time you shared your testimony with somebody? Maybe you don't have a testimony. You know, Eric gave a call. You could give your life to the Lord today. You could have a testimony today. Amen. But have you thought about your testimony? In Acts 7, we see Paul's overseeing the stoning of Stephen. By the time we get to Acts 9, there's this dramatic conversion and on the road to Damascus. And then God sends Ananias to lay hands on him and heal him and then commissions him to go spread the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews, to the whole world. And so within days of being with the disciples in Damascus, it says that he went from persecutor of Christians to teaching passionately in the temples. And so signs and wonders follow Paul, persecution follows Paul, and before we get up to chapter 22, the disciples were actually begging him, do not go to Jerusalem. Like, look, this is what they're going to do. They're going to bind you up. They're going to whip you. They're going to beat you. They're probably going to take your life, right? Do not go to Jerusalem. But Paul went anyways because he knew in the face of great danger and of risking it all, sharing his testimony would be the greatest thing to advance the kingdom. And so sharing our testimony will have the greatest advancement of the kingdom in our life and in the lives of those that God places within our path. And there is a risk to sharing our testimony, okay? Like in Canada, maybe we don't have the risk of losing our life yet. Looks like it might trend towards that way. But hearing Brian talk about, you know, sharing to the Muslim world in Ethiopia kind of brings things a little closer to home for you. But there is a risk maybe in losing a friendship or judgment or condemnation or credibility or those sorts of things. But like Paul, he weighed the risk. He stepped into the call that God had on his life, and he became that chosen instrument that God used for him to spread the gospel to the whole world. And so think about this. When Paul shared his testimony, it took him places. He went from the temple in Jerusalem to the barracks where he was going to get whipped. So then he was chatting with the commander of the army, and then he's back in front of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and then he's in front of the governor, Felix, and then Festus, and then he's in front of King Agrippa, and then it's not recorded, but it's assumed he actually presented his case before Caesar. And so isn't that amazing? Man shared his testimony, and it took him places. And so I want to say this morning, if you're willing to share your testimony and be bold in your faith, it will take you places. It'll take you places physically, and it will also take you places with people. You'll travel a different road with them once you share your testimony. And so I just want to encourage you with that. So let's turn to Acts chapter 21. I want to read Paul's testimony together, okay? So Acts chapter 22, we're going to read the first 21 verses here. So you can go ahead and throw that up on the screen there, but Acts chapter 22. So brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get on to Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. So, Father, I thank you for the testimony of Paul. But above all, God, I thank you that this isn't just a testimony that we look at as a historical document, God, but it's a word for us today. And Father, I pray you'd speak to us today about our testimony, the call that you have on our life, and I pray you'd stir up our faith, give us courage to share our testimony of what you've saved us from, but more importantly, what you saved us into. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a few points I want to talk about. And the first one is when it comes to giving your testimony, God will give you a special set of skills for you to connect with people. When we were at Manfriends just last weekend, all the men, we partner with a church in Grand Prairie, a bunch of big bearded hunting tough guys, you know. We're tough too. We didn't win any one of the challenges, paper, rock, scissors. Thank you, Keith. But it was funny because after our first night there, and the next morning we're sitting around the breakfast table, and I'm sitting across from Jesse, and he wore this t-shirt with a buck on it, right? It's a big buck. And the first thing he says to me is, Man, you would not believe how many guys came up to me because of my shirt from Grand Prairie. And they're like, oh, are you a hunter? How many bucks have you got? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, last night I wore a Lululemon shirt. And like, like nobody talked to me. So, that's on me. God will give you a special set of skills to connect with people. Hey, at the beginning of Paul's testimony, what did it say? The crowd was going wild, but it said when he spoke to them in Hebrew, in their language, they quieted down. And so when you speak your testimony, God will speak through you to them in their language. We're made in the image of God, aren't we? And so when we speak to them, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, something has to resonate with them. Something has to stir in their spirit, something that they recognize. Maybe they don't recognize it in their head, but they recognize it here. And when we speak our testimony to people, there has to be some level of understanding that happens there. God will this Holy Spirit will go to work in their life. He'll soften their heart, and he'll bring their mind to a place of understanding. And so God will give you a special set of skills that will help you connect with your audience. God will also use the circumstances of your life to connect with people. And so maybe you've got like a crazy testimony. I mean, we all do, but maybe you have, you know, a sad story to start your life off of, a tough journey. You know, Romans 8:28 says that we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so I really think God uses the circumstances, experience of our life to build our testimony and to be able to speak to and connect with other people. Maybe you grew up, you were abused and degraded, you were spoken words of worthlessness or poor identity over, and then you gave your life to Jesus and discovered that your true identity and worth and value is in who he says you are, not someone who has a broken lens says you are, and they need to hear that testimony. Okay, maybe you didn't have a father, a good dad in your life to model what a father and a husband looks like, but you gave your life to Father God, and you broke that generational curse, right? Somebody needs to hear that story. Maybe key relationships, marriages or key relationships in your life have failed, but you found a relationship with the one who never fails you, and now you have hope again for restoration of those relationships. Somebody needs to hear that testimony. So no matter your life story, when you give your life to Jesus, you have an amazing testimony, a story of redemption that will draw people back to their Creator. God can flip the script on your life, regardless of your past, okay? And you think about it, Paul went from killing Christians to becoming a champion of the gospel. God flipped the script on Paul's life. And so there's three different people that I want to speak to here this morning about flipping the script on your life. And one is, maybe you feel like you don't have the courage to share your testimony. You might say, I'm too shy, I'm too reserved, I don't know the Bible well enough to share my testimony. I'm one of those action speaks louder than words kind of guy. That's who I was for a long time. Actions speak louder than words. And the actions speak loudly, but God also gave us a voice. And I've heard Eric say before, if God can take a shy kid and turn him into the, we know the passionate preacher and teacher that he is, God can do the impossible in your life. Second person I want to speak to is maybe you feel like your past is too dark, okay? You've screwed up too much, your sin is too great, your past is too dark. You know, I just want to say the darker your past, the greater God's grace in your life and the brighter your light will shine because of him, not because of you, but because of him and what he's done in your life. And God can do the impossible regardless of how dark your past has been or the poor decisions that you've made in your life. I have a friend who met Jesus at a Marilyn Manson concert. Can you believe that? And he had a dark kind of teenage formative years, and he had plans to commit suicide in the bathroom of a Marilyn Manson concert, and Jesus met him there. So it does not matter how dark your past is, you know, and I don't know Marilyn Manson's story right now, but I know he's attending prayer meetings and talking with people, like maybe something crazy happening in his life as well, but it does not matter how dark your life is. God will use you. He'll redeem you. He'll flip the script on your life. And the last person I want to talk to you about is, you know, maybe you have had a powerful testimony. You were walking in strength and power, and you felt like that's kind of weakened or you've kind of let that go, okay? And I want to speak to you. I want to say to you that God is a redeemer. And if you don't believe me, just read the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 8. Or Luke 15, sorry. And so if you're alive and breathing today, God's not done with you yet. He will restore you to a place of power and authority when it comes to sharing the gospel and sharing your testimony. The devil is the father of lies, and he's going to tell you the exact opposite of what I just told you. Yeah. So don't listen to the father of lies, okay? Your testimony may be offensive. For a people pleaser like me, that's a tough word to hear. But your testimony, it might be offensive. Paul certainly was offensive. Paul had this incredible, life-transforming testimony, and when he shared it, the crowd still wanted to kill him. And he had people there who had witnessed it. They still wanted to kill this man. And so, again, that's a tough word for people like me who are people pleasers. But honestly, the darker this world gets, the more offensive our testimony gets. It's going to happen. And so even here in good old Canada, okay? And honestly, we were not put on this earth to please people. We were put on this earth to do the will of the Father. Thank God, along the way, he will give us friends and mentors and rabbis and teachers, and I like the word sensei, you know, encouragers, people that will build us up along the way. And many of you in this church have been that for me. I think of Les, you know, I think of Dave, I think of Leonard and Lori, I think of, you know, the eldership team, I think of many people, but you know, when I thought about this, you know, friends who God has brought along the way, the first people I thought of is Eric and Candace. And, you know, at such a perfect season in our church life, to bring you guys alongside us has just been an absolutely incredible thing in your whole family. And so it's been a while since we did a standing ovation in here, hasn't it? If Eric and Candace have meant anything to you guys in the last year and a half or 2 years, why don't you stand to your feet and join me? Yeah. So we love you guys. Don't ever leave us unless God tells you to. Testimonies are powerful. Stories are powerful. You can change a life by telling a story many more times over than if you just fill someone's heads with facts and reason and logic. It's your story is powerful. Think about in Luke chapter 8 when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man. And then he said, "Return to your home, declare how much God has done for you." And when he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Can you imagine what those people thought when they saw this man? And when they saw and heard his story and his testimony? We do way more than trying to reason with people or give logic. And so it's the same with your story and with my story. And God will empower us to share our testimony, and there is going to be power in it. And so if you're someone who is maybe more reserved, you feel like you need some to stir your faith and get some courage, it's God that gives us the courage to do this. And even Paul needed it. So actually in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, it says, "The following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so also you must testify in Rome.'" It's God that gives us the courage. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8 says, "Don't be ashamed." Chapter 7 it says, "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God." So I think it'd be great for you, before you share your testimony, just pray that Holy Spirit will intercede for you and that God will give you the power and the courage to do what you need to do, to share your story. You don't need a crazy story. The truth is we all have a crazy story, but you might, like me, think for many years that my story was boring. You don't need a crazy story. And I heard a pastor once preach about these crazy testimonies, right? And this guy gets up and he's like, "I had the craziest life you can imagine, you know, like drugs, alcohol, addictions, just like my life was a mess, a different woman every night. And then when I turned 7, the Lord got a hold to me," right? And I say that as a joke, but sometimes we get caught in this trap of thinking that we need this wild story to convert people, right? The conversion's not up to us anyways, but you don't need a crazy story. In summer Bible camp, we used to do something called a campfire testimonial. Have you guys ever done that? All you had to say was, "My name is Brad," and here's this little shy guy, and I'm like, "My name is Brad. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 6. And that's it. Done. And it built my faith. It built the faith of those around me. And when I heard other kids saying that too, and it was so simple, but it was profound and it was powerful. So don't overthink it. It can be simple. So that's my testimony. When I was 6 or 7 years old, my mom led me to the Lord after Sunday school. You know, praise God for mom in my life. And I rededicated my life when I was like 11 or 12, got baptized a few years later. And you know, I grew up in the church and had such a good, awesome, solid foundation. And for many, many years, I always thought that was boring because I heard these crazy testimonies about, you know, Jesus radically transforming lives. But the older that I get, and I know I'm getting older because I sometimes drive 90 in the 110, my wife will tell you that. The older I get, the more darkness in the world that I see, the more depravity, the hopelessness, the lostness of the world today, and the greater I see my testimony as being. Because we all have a crazy testimony, because God met us on our road to Damascus, reached into the depth of our brokenness and darkness, and the darkness scattered. And he said, I'm going to be the light of your world. You're not going to walk in darkness anymore. And that story that we all have, if you've given your life to the Lord, is amazing. It's incredible. It's been life transforming. So your story is unique. You should tell it. God loved your story so much that since the beginning of time, he set in place a plan to redeem you. So your story is amazing, okay? And so I asked you at the beginning, have you ever thought about your testimony? When was the last time you told your testimony to somebody? Are you prepared to share it? And this was a big conviction for me. In the business world, they have something called like the 60-second elevator speech. So you get on an elevator with someone, they press level 10, and you've got 60 seconds to tell somebody what you do. Right? Some of you guys are finance guys who have done pitches before. You got to get to the point and you got to get there fast, right? And so here's my conviction in preparing this sermon, this preach. How much effort have I put into honing my testimony? You know, just making it simple, concise, clear, impactful, easy to tell. If someone, you know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. How much effort have you put into your testimony, sharing that? And I think for many, many years, I put effort into many other things. I put a lot of effort into communicating what I do for work, okay, and being able to explain that. I put many hours of effort into very selfish things. You know, I think of, you know, many, many years of working out and staying fit and strong, and it's a good thing, take care of your body, but a lot of hours of selfishness and vain and conceit. I used to be allergic to sleeves. Do you guys know what that means? And when I put on my gym shirt, the sleeves would just fall off, you know? The truth is I cut them off with scissors because I was arrogant and I wanted people to see the hard work I put in. You know, but I think of like lots of things that I've put my... I'm being honest with you guys this morning, but the hours that I put into selfish things and in my conviction, like how much effort have I put into developing my testimony and sharing my testimony. And so I believe the word the Holy Spirit wants to instill in us today is to remember again how amazing our testimony really is and the grace and mercy that God gave us and what he saved us from. And as Leonard always says, not just what he saved you from, but what he saved you into. Most importantly, what he saved you into, okay? And so your testimony is not perfect. Don't wait for your life to be perfect to share your testimony. Oh, if I just clean up this one thing, or, you know, part of our ongoing testimony is the grace of God to carry us through life. When we fall down, he picks us back up again, okay? Even Paul himself called himself the chief of sinners, right? It did not stop him from spreading the gospel to the entire world. And so your testimony, it's not simply a past event, okay? There is an element of your story that is, you made a decision, hopefully, but it doesn't stay there. It doesn't stay as a past event. And I love what Brian said. If you guys were here, he might have said it in his sermon last week, or maybe even for sure in Life in the Word when he was on Thursday. When we get born again, we're not supposed to stay babies. You're supposed to grow and you're supposed to mature. And you guys, if you were there, he had an awesome analogy. It was like carrying this little baby around and it's just a couple months, you know, a couple months old, and the parents come up to you and they're like, or someone comes up to you and says, what an amazing, cute baby. How old are they? And you're like, yeah, 2 months old. And you're like, oh, so sweet and cute, right? And then imagine that same little baby and someone comes up to you and you're like, oh, amazing, cute little baby. How old are they? And you're like, 42. You're like, that's weird. That's weird, right? And so we're supposed to grow up in our faith and mature in our faith and grow in our courage and stir up the Holy Spirit in our life. And not for ourselves, but so that we can spread the gospel, so that we can share our testimony and change lives. And so I'll call the band up. You guys can start coming up as we land the ship, as they say. I want to say something to you here before we kind of a call to action, but I want to say, don't be afraid of rejection, because we are not called to results, we're called to obedience, simply called to obedience. And so don't be afraid of rejection. Every time you share your testimony, you plant a seed, and you never know what will happen to that seed. You never know. And I can't prove this, but I just, it was a Holy Spirit thought, I don't know, but I think Saul's conversion started happening maybe before on the road to Damascus. Maybe Saul's conversion happened when he was standing there witnessing the stoning of Stephen. And he saw a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit willing to give his life for a chance to share his testimony, right? And what would that do to you to see that? What would that do to you to see a man or a woman full of faith risking it all to share their testimony? And then to hear Stephen even say, you know, don't hold this against them, God. Don't hold this against them. It's amazing. No anger in his heart. And so don't be afraid of rejection. Don't be afraid to plant a seed. And so there's a call to action. The first one is you could have a testimony this morning if you've never given your life to the Lord. Okay? The most amazing thing you could do today is give your life to the Lord, and you could have a testimony. Come to the front. We'll pray with you. It's simple. You just have to freely receive. And if that's you and your life is full of despair and anxiety and darkness and hopelessness, there's a chance for you, God, to flip the script on your life today. Okay? Do you need to rededicate your life? Are there areas of your life that you're hanging on to tightly that you don't want to let go of? There's something stopping you from answering the full call of God in your life. We would love to pray for you. And maybe someone needs prayer to be a risk taker. Maybe someone needs someone just to stand next to them up here and pray a prayer of faith, stir faith in their belly, fill their life with courage to be able to step out and share your testimony. And maybe there's even someone here God is putting on your heart is like saying, hey, I've talked to you about this person. You need to be sharing your testimony with this person, and you haven't done it yet. We'll pray for you. So remember, your testimony is powerful. If you didn't know that before, you should know it today, okay? Because your story is a story of hope, and it's a story of a good future. It's of love, and it's of redemption. It's honestly, it's everything that the world desperately wants, whether they know it or not, okay? And the best gifts are meant to be shared. We're supposed to be a light on a hill. We're not supposed to be under shade or cover or darkness, right? We're supposed to be the light on the hill. So we're meant to share that. If your testimony means anything to you, it's worth sharing, okay? And I really feel the Holy Spirit is just moving in this church and moving us into greater maturity and greater depth and understanding. And I see it in our prayer meetings, and I see it in life in the Word, and I see it in our leader meetings and our elder meetings. I see it at Sundays at church. And I don't want anybody to miss out on what God is doing in this body and in His church. And so God's calling you to be a chosen instrument to spread the gospel to the world around you, to throw off everything that hinders us and to run the race well. And so Isaiah 43, Eric shared this in prayer this morning, Isaiah 43 verse 19, and it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. And so if you're here this morning and you need a new thing, you need a road made in the wilderness, you need a stream in the desert of your life, you want a new thing, a good thing, a God thing, don't stay in your seat, come to the front. And let's let God have the opportunity to do some work in your life today. So, Father God, we declare you are doing a new thing today. We want to step into that, Father. And I pray if there's anybody here who's never given their life to you, Father, that new thing today would be salvation. A new testimony, Father. And God, I pray for a freshness for every single person who's here this morning, and a willingness and obedience just to step into all that you have called us for, God. We don't want to stay babies. We want to grow in our faith, mature in our faith, and we want to We want to live our lives for you and for others. And we want to stop the selfishness and the things that hinder us, and we want to step into all that you have for us. So thank you, God, that every day you have something new for us, and we thank you for the new thing that you're doing in us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.